In the winter of 2006, in a cave outside of Albany, New York, hibernating bats were waking up, muzzles and wings covered in an irritating white powder, emerging from their caves, confused. With freezing temperatures and no insects to feed upon, they quickly perished by the thousands. 5 years later, the disease, called white nose syndrome, is decimating entire bat colonies and is spreading so far to 18 states and 4 Canadian provinces. Anne Froschauer, National White Nose Syndrome Communications Leader for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, says it's not been documented in Arkansas yet.
And the fungus, which is associated with white nose syndrome, the presumed causative agent of white nose syndrome, this fungus, Geomyces destructans, has also been detected in 2 additional states a little bit further west. That includes Oklahoma and Missouri.
The fungus, Geomyces destructans, is new to science, she says. The genome mapped just this last year. More than half of 45 bat species in the United States hibernate in caves and mines over winter, so are at risk.
So the bats that are being affected right now include the big brown bat, the eastern small-footed bat, the Indiana bat, which is an endangered species, the little brown bat, the northern long-eared bat, the tricolored bat, and those are those six have actually been identified with white nose syndrome, the disease. In addition to that, we've got several bat species that have been identified to have the fungus on them. That includes the cave bat, the gray bat, which is a federally listed endangered species, and the southeastern bat. So those bats have had the fungus on them, but have not been detected with the full white nose syndrome disease.
We have lots of caves in the Ozarks, habitat to all sorts of hibernating bats, including the endangered Virginia big-eared bat and Ozark big-eared bat. And research is indicating that bats are the primary vector for white nose syndrome.
In the summertime, bats are often come in contact with each other while they're mating, roosting in the summer and fall. So we do know that the fungus can be transmitted back and forth between bats during other times of the year. Of course, when they're hibernating, they're in very close proximity. Most of these bats are social bats. They hibernate in caves where there are a number of other bats, so they're coming in contact with other bats that may have the fungus on them. So we do know that bat-to-bat contact, that is the main method of transmission of the fungus and of white nose syndrome, the disease.
In affected states, public caves have been closed to recreational caving because the disease can also be spread via contaminated shoes and gear.
The assumption is that humans could potentially transport spores, deposit them in another cave or mine where the environmental conditions are right, and those spores could potentially grow, and we could have another site that's now infected with white nose syndrome.
Researchers suspect that's how fungus spores may have infected U.S. bat colonies in the first place. Geomyces destructans is common in Europe, but does not harm bats there. American bats are not immune.
And really that's one of the reasons for the decontamination protocols, as well as for the cave advisory, is to try to prevent those human-assisted transport of the fungus and try to prevent some of those big geographic jumps.
As for treating infected caves to quell the spread, broad-spectrum fungicides would do more harm than good.
Because we don't want to disrupt the natural fungi that are there, that should be there, those good fungi. So, in the lab, there is a lot of work looking for some of these compounds that may be effective in killing the fungus. Of course, there's some complexities for applying some sort of fungicide or any sort of treatment to hibernating bats. Even healthy hibernating bats, if they're disturbed during hibernation, this disrupts their hibernation cycle. It causes them to wake up, and they start burning through that fat that's really important for them to make it through the winter. So, aside from there being some difficulty in finding a compound that will only kill the right fungus, it's really difficult to apply something like that in the cave or mine where the bats are hibernating.
Rehabilitation of sick bats is also being studied, but Anne Froschauer says once released, they return to the same infected hibernaculum or cave.
We are looking at, what's the sort of timing of the disease developing, when the fungus gets there, when does the disease start occurring, and sort of what that time progression is. So there's just really a lot of unknowns here, and we have been learning really quickly. But the disease is moving really quickly, too, so it's difficult for us to sort of keep up with as quickly as the disease is moving sometimes.
So in the summer of 2008, the Department of Interior, Agriculture, even the Department of Defense, along with state wildlife agencies and federal tribes, met for the first time to talk about the problem. And on May 17th, this year, state wildlife agencies convened the 4th annual White Nose Syndrome Symposium in Little Rock, co-hosted by Fish and Wildlife Service and Bat Conservation International.
Well, we had, over the course of the week, we had approximately 150 people on site, and then we also had a webcast for researchers and state and federal partners that weren't able to come to the meeting, and we had about 100 people participate in the webcast from remote locations.
In recent years, officials have said over 1 million bats have died from white nose syndrome, but in reality, biologists have been unable to document population decline.
You can't go necessarily just go into a cave that's been affected and count the carcasses. So we know perhaps that there were several hundred thousand bats in a cave, and we go back now and they're not there. So we've got sort of the missing and the dead, and it's difficult to sort of put a good number on that when we didn't have a baseline to tell us sort of where we were before white nose syndrome.
Also on May 17th, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service unveiled a national management plan to assist states, agencies, and tribes to investigate and prevent white nose syndrome, presented at the 3-day conference in Little Rock. A draft of the plan was released in the fall of 2010. The agency received 17,000 public comments. So far, the U.S. Interior Department has invested nearly $11 million in combating the disease. But critics say federal agencies have been too slow to respond, given the epidemic began more than 5 years ago. That's because bats are integral to ecological health. They consume disease-carrying mosquitoes, who are of benefit to humans, but also help farms and forests.
Insect-eating bats are the major predator of night-flying insects, and that includes a lot of agricultural pests and forest product pests. So the potential, economic and ecological impacts for our forests and for the agricultural economy in the U.S. From the loss of the natural pest control that's provided by bats is a serious concern. There's been recently a study published in Science that looked at what the potential impact to the agricultural economy is from the loss of these bats to white nose syndrome, and they've estimated about $22 billion a year to the agricultural economy is the services that these bats provide in terms of pest control.
Ann Froschauer says U.S. Fish and Wildlife are increasing partnerships with non-governmental organizations and universities who are conducting critical cutting-edge research on white nose syndrome. In the meantime, emergency bat habitat closures in 18 states will remain in place until further notice. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.